Friday afternoon. Thank you again for Mr. Mathan for the invitation. Today we're going to have a bit of fun with a topic that's not too much fun, which is fear. But before we start with fear, I've been trying to say this at almost every talk I give, and I'm going to keep saying it, I think. And as Dogen said it in the Rules for Meditation, that the pure meditation must be done. And I just want to emphasize, and I'm going to sound like a broken record by Tuesday night, next Tuesday, daily practice, daily meditation practice is really important, really important. If you can't meditate at least a 30-minute period a day, meditate 20, 10, or even 5. Just try to keep up a regular practice. And again, like I said on the last Tuesday, that if you find yourself getting too much into, which I see lately, busyness, make a short meditation period part of brushing your teeth. In other words, everybody brushes their teeth in the morning. Hopefully. I talked to a lot of people recently. I haven't met one that didn't do that, at least. And just right after you wash your mouth, go to your meditation period. At least 5 minutes. You've got the time right there. And then the other times, as we were taught from day one in doing this, there's little times during the day. If you're waiting for a red light, you could sit there and meditate for a minute. You're taking an elevator ride up or down. Take a breath. I always try to start with a breath and then just be still. You can hold your hands under something and just anywhere during the day. Take a nice walk during the day. And this will keep the training and practice going. This is really important. So this is, I just want to emphasize this at the first. And I'm going to wait for Carol to continue. Good. Myself had a bunch of problems with this when I was traveling forth from Shasta to New York City. It's a rough place. You just get pulled out of your meditation there. And as I went to a retreat last summer, my friends invited me to go over, and I did a little retreat, and they did it. And as I talked to them over the months afterwards, their meditation, daily meditation practice kind of dissolved. And I said, I understand. I happened to be in that same position. And I was in the, for a while in New York, before I got back to Shasta, I was in the 5-minute category. And it really helped. It really helped. The other thing I highly recommend, if anyone can do, that really helped me at the beginning and still helps me to this day, as of last November, is retreats. And any time you feel you have an opening in time to go on a retreat, we have them at North Cascades, they have them at Shasta, and now Mr. Mathan is starting some on Sundays. Actually, I think this one is one. Just to move away from your regular routine. And even as a monk, I say, that's big. Because we have the same kind of responsibilities, the same, as Master Koshin told me just a few weeks ago, Basil, you're holding on to the garden too much. Let go of it. And it's the same thing. Just take a step away from your responsibilities and just go into retreat, into the reality of things. Because this stuff that's going on now is transient. And it's like smoke. We want to get ready for the times we're going to need our meditation, which we're going to talk about today a bit. So, fear. Let's start off with some things I got out of our old friend, and this is a crazy way to start, the dictionary. We'll start off with a couple of dictionaries. And this dictionary is a fine gift for River Vesta Maytag that you gave me.
I coveted that. I'm too big to take.
This was the greatest, is the greatest dictionary I ever had. And I told her Mr. Maytag that, and she gave it to me before she left. So,
the American Heritage, are you familiar?
Not the Oxford English Dictionary?
I was going to say, glad you said it.
American.
Oh, well. It's a very good picture.
It'll do.
It has color pictures. Now we're going to get beautiful colored pictures. No picture of fear. So out of it, I got some synonyms. Synonyms are fright, dread, terror, horror, panic, and alarm. Not fun. None of these things are fun. But our training and meditation and practice is the help for these things. That these things are really, really, as we all know, and I know from personal experience, are quite painful when they arise. Very, very painful. And the first thing that comes up for you is to run. Leave me alone. But that doesn't work. Usually it makes it worse. I found for myself and talking to many other people about it. So the teaching we got again from day one that helps right here again is all acceptance. And what we learn in the formal meditation again is not to push it away and not to hold on to it. It's to accept it and let it be. And this is a big help right there. And again, like I told you Tuesday night about anger, this is easily said, not easy. Not easy to sit there very still and quiet with fright, dread, terror, horror, panic, and alarm. This is not easy. But that's the way that works. Quite frankly, that's the way that works. That you be still with it and accept it. And we talked about loving these things. This one is not easy. You can go there and know when the roots start showing itself, you can love it. But most of the time, quite honestly, I'm not there with that. But I can accept it a lot of the times now. And sit there and meditate. And what you do, it loses its power. It just loses its power. Instead of being consumed by it and then going in different directions with it, as I'll talk soon about, you can let the meditation and the love of the eternal, the water of the spirit, wash through it. And that's what we're doing. That is the training. The training is, as we talked about Tuesday night with anger, is to help us. And that's what it does. This practice helps us. So, that's the kind of first thing. The other thing was meanings. I got out of the dictionary. Where are they? Here they are. This is fun. I love dictionaries. The first meaning of fear is something that is important, as you'll see, and something that's very important, as we learned from the first days of our training, is mindfulness. And you'll see when I read this first meaning, mindfulness will be important here. So the meaning is a feeling of agitation and anxiety caused by the presence or imminence of danger. Fear has a purpose. These fear and a lot of these, all these things are signals of something. So here we get an arising of fear, and then we're still for a bit and we meditate with it and say, whoa, this fear is over there. There's a bunch of characters standing on the corner. This is a New York City thing. Having a look at me get off the subway here, and suddenly I see that, and I have this fear arising, and I'm going in that direction. And then I'm still and quiet, and then something comes up, walk the other way. Walk the other way. So right there, my meditation helped me. I didn't push the fear away. I didn't panic and just go into a fog and just keep walking towards these characters which could have caused big problems. I meditated with it and I listened to something that came up and I walked the other way. So right there, fear has a purpose some of the time, actually all the time. Because the purpose of it is to bring you into meditation. And that's good. The second thing is a state or condition marked by this feeling living in fear. Ah, now this one is something we don't do like we did with the first one. We kind of feel this. And this is where I was growing up, actually. I had a lot of fear arising when I was younger, and still comes in waves. And I was going to talk a little about this today, but I'm going to save the root causes of feeling and fear for Tuesday night. This is a preview of a movie. So we're not going to go there till Tuesday night. So we're going to accept we have this fear coming up from the past. And what I would do, the first things I would do, being a certain type, is try to cover it up. Being a kind of a greed type, an anger type, would start getting angry, and delusion type would say, I have no fear, it doesn't exist. So my type would be, I start to cover it up. And what would happen is, I'd get into trouble. I'd be starting to do things. I wouldn't accept the fear. I'm always trying to push it away. So it would kind of get worse. And everything I would do would have this fear element to it during the day. I'd be, quote what it says in this meaning, I'd be living in fear without even realizing it. And a lot of times I did realize it. I had fear of looking for a job, and fear of this, and fear of that, and fear of that. I'd be trying to cover it up, but it wasn't working. It wasn't working at all. So again, the answer here is the meditation. And let this kind of feel. Now when I get in waves of this, and in November I got a serious wave of serious fear from left field. And I had to just be mindful of being that much more still at that time period. When you get the more serious waves of this fear, that's the time to really, hit the seat, hit something like that. Not your partner or friend or boss, but just go a little deeper and be a little more serious at that time, and that helps. And that really helps, instead of doing that. And then what I noticed in myself, and I talked about anger on Tuesday night, when my fear starts to arise, besides the greeds, I have certain angers come up. And I go, and an example of this, we had, as for Mr. Mathan, and we had a dog at North Cascades Woods Priory called Foony. Now, Foony, we got Foony from Shasta Abbey because he bit a monk in the face.
Ooh.
Foony was a kind of rough kind of dog. And
it was karma waiting to happen.
It was karma waiting to happen. It's a good description. So, we took Foony into the priory, and what came up for Reb Master Koshin is to send him to school, training school. And a lot of it worked. A lot of it worked. He was able to be still at times, and it helped. Sometimes it didn't. But the trainer, who was we found a great woman, an expert who trained animals, big animals, elephants, and all kinds. She was a kind of expert trainer, and she labeled Foony as a fear biter. Now, when she said that, and when I was at the school with Reb Master Koshin, what hit me? I'm like that, I think. When my fear kind of arises like that, I'm a kind of biter. And people told me in New York, they felt these kind of, quote an old hippie word, vibes. They would try to keep away from me until this wave of fear and biting, or being sarcastic or arrogant or whatever. I wouldn't actually bite anybody. But I had a it's a bitter mouth or a biting kind of mouth. So as I started training and I came out west and I did that a bit here, and don't do that word, Master Koshin. I tried it.
Bite back.
I think I bite back pretty hard. He would say, go to the meditation. And what he said all the time, and when I did, I said, go to the meditation hall and meditate. Every time I did something like that, that's what he would say. He would say, go meditate. And it worked. I'd be in meditation for a few hours doing it. There was more too. He said, go do bows, go meditate, go do a few things. And Reb Master Koshin calls this, and it's great teaching for me, the toolkit. When the fear arises, or all these feelings, and we'll talk more about Tuesday, and we talked about anger as one of them, we have our training particular toolkit. One is meditation. One is bows, one is reading the precepts, one is scriptures. Whatever works for you, when you catch yourself with the mindfulness of going in these directions, you can go there instead of being a biter, or a greeter, or a delusioner, or whatever other way you might go with the fear would lead you in these directions. So you're back to the original fear. And what is that? Fright, dread, terror, horror, panic, alarm. Now that's not easy, as we keep saying, to be still with. It's easier to go with those other things. But this works. The other things don't work. It's like pouring kerosene on a fire. You go with those things. It's just kind of, you're out there, you make yourself sicker, you get into arguments, you get into trouble, you get into this. And the fear is always there, even getting worse. Even getting worse at the time. And before you know it, and I know people, they're living in tremendous fear. And eventually, you could go off the deep end with fear, as some people do, even fear to go outside your apartment and fear. We all know how far fear can take you into paranoid states and so forth. So we certainly don't want to go there. So we have a choice right there at the beginning when the fear arises, through our meditation, to see it and be mindful of it and have our toolkit right there and knowing what to do because we're training and meditating. So that's that one. And then there was one more meaning. To be uneasy or apprehensive. It's just the more feelings of the fear. To be uneasy and apprehensive. Another state it's not easy to be still with. If you're uneasy or apprehensive, you know, in the old state, might go get a bottle of wine or whatever, something like that, and try to do that. And that's one of the more coarser things, or the other kind of more coarse things, or the uncoarse things, the more subtle things that we've talked about so far, fear, biting, and greed, and delusion. So that was the basic thing with that, of the original meanings. Now, Reverend Master Jiyu had a really nice little piece in this book. This is the journal, the 10th anniversary of the death of our founder. And she talks about fear and how the deeper purpose of Zen meditation is to work with fear. It's such a big thing. And let's see what she has to say. She says right here, the purpose in Zen for the formulation of the teaching is so that we may live in this world without fear in our minds of either life or death. Now, we've been talking basically the fears in the living, in the life part. And I am one of these kind of people who fear the daily life and fear things more than death. I have a fear of death, of course, as I'll talk later a bit about. But I'm, as Reverend Master G will talk about that, that causes me more, that's more on my mind than the fear of death. I am not so much thinking about death in that sense. That I talk to people and people are seriously afraid and have fear of death. And usually when you have that kind of fear is the more you put the emphasis on the self, as you'll see. So when the self, if you put all your chips on the self and all your marbles on the self, and then the self starts dissipating if you get disease and so forth, you get a lot of fear arise. Because what you've taken refuge in big time, I don't have my magazine cover here, but if you've taken big time refuge in that, and then suddenly you go to the doctor and get a report not so good, you're going to be full of serious fear. And again, when that happens, and that happened to me at one point, and I'll talk a bit about it later, you still have the same place to go, the same toolkit, the same direction. Again, it'll help you there, the practice, the meditation, the training, right there. So the Master goes on here, purposes, formulate in the world without in the minds of either life or death. And she says, many people are more afraid of life than they are of death. That's me. She says, death is an inevitability. Tomorrow morning, who knows what the boss is going to do with you? Life is much more of a problem to most people than is death. So the purpose of the training in Zen is so that you may be able to live free of fear and die totally, as the world understands the term, without fear. And I believe she means without the attachment to fear. Because fear is going to arise. And what Master G was saying, without that attachment, without having the fear controlling you, is what we're talking about, having such a big control. Let the fear arise and let it go. The thoughts always come and go. The feelings always come and go. And just like we learn in formal meditation, we sit there and let them come and go. It's the problem when we start holding on to things. That is what our first founder, Bodhidharma, formulated for the benefit of all of us. This fear is a big issue. It's a big thing. And this works on it. And I was going to talk about the couple of times it worked on me. And one is as recently as November, but I'll go back further 5 years with a more serious illness. At first I was diagnosed with a small tumor in my colon. It's just out of left field. And I was moving along and getting all the tests and get ready, and then I was getting ready to see the surgeon. And I was doing okay for a while. It was a 2-inch tumor, nothing really big. And I went to the surgeon, and they tell you to bring a family member or a close friend to the surgeon when you go for this visit. Now I see why. And the surgeon says, we walk into the office. I went with Reverend Hector at the time, and he said, do you have any questions? Or do you want to ask it? I said, yeah, well, what are you going to do? I said, what do you do? Just a 2-inch tumor, you make a little hole, take it out, and Bob's our uncle? There's a lot of wishful thinking right here, believe me. And the surgeon stood there still for a second, and a little smirk on his face. I got to know him quite well down the road. He says, no, we don't quite do that. He says, we start here, and we make an incision, and we go all the way down to the beginning of the pubic area, and then we open you wide. He says, because we want to take a good look to see what's going on, and see why we got you open. He said, Reverend Hector said, I started to turn white at the time when he said this. And serious fear was arising, believe me. And from that time on to the surgery, to the night before the surgery, I was consumed by serious fear. I was consumed. And I had to really, quote, hit my meditation spot. And I kept trying. But I was doing a lot of meditation and walking meditation. The fear was still strong. The fear was still strong. But I kept the faith going in it. I didn't give up, and I kept meditating, taking walks, trying to be still, trying, you can always try. But the fear was still quite there. But I wasn't going, this was a big point at this time, I wasn't going in any of these other directions I talked about. And people at the temple told me that. I wasn't a fear biter at that time. I didn't get into any big time greeds. People told me I was a bit still at the time. I didn't feel it, to tell you the truth. I was full of fear. But I was full of it and sitting with it. I was still with it. A big thing for me at that time. Then, the night before the surgery, I was there, and they have to administer a strong antibiotic to you the night before surgery, because with that kind of slit open and open you up, you're susceptible to serious stuff. So I had a really bad reaction. I had to beat the doctor, and I was getting there, because my colon was weak, and it really hurt my colon. So I just went into a fear panic. I just started crying. I was in really bad shape. And then what hit me was, I said, what I've been doing here for 17 years with this training, let me really at this moment try to really meditate within this. And I sat there and I went corpse pose, and it was really painful. I really was sitting, but I to me, at that point, I had no choice to do it. I just went right into it and I do it. And after about a half hour, things kind of dissolved. It was a stillness. And it didn't matter what would happen the next day to me, if I lived or died. There was that kind of, what's the word, you can almost call it peace. There was almost that kind of peace. And I just did in my heart. I thanked in gratitude for the training and Ramester Jiu and Ramester Koshin. And amazing amount of gratitude just welled up in me at that time. And as Reverend Hector and Reverend Zensho came for the surgery the next day, they said, I look great going into the surgery. They didn't see me the night before. but it worked. And made it through that. And that was a whole bunch of years ago, and was still doing good with that thing. But in November, I got hit with a serious wave of, what's those words? Terror. the whole ball of wax. And it came from left field. It had nothing to do with surgery or anything. And the pain of it was as sharp as I ever had. And Rimmes, of course, told me, as you train longer and you get these waves, they get more painful at times. And he, Rimmes, of course, said, you're going on retreat. And I went on about a month retreat, and I was consumed by this stuff. And what was happening to me with this stuff, in my mind, those other things were happening. The fear biter, all type of thoughts, and I call them anti-thoughts, negative thoughts, you know, that the fear was leading me to. Against Ramester Koshin is no good, the temple of Buddhism is no good, all kinds of that, all trying to pull me out of my stillness. It was strong.
Mara
is what they call it. Mara thoughts. Mara was really, and as they kind of say, you're being, and I don't like this, they say you're kind of being tested at this time. I don't like to say it, but I guess you are, in a way. I was being tested. I always hated tests in school. So I don't even like to say that word. But it's really, that was it. And this was the time I really had to be, it came off me, I had to be more, I don't know how many times during my walks and my meditation periods I had to stop. I said, thanks, but no thanks. This was my particular kind of mantra for this stuff I'm about. And it would dissipate and come back sometimes in 10 seconds. And the whole retreat almost was like this. And there were spots of that place that I had after that night before the surgery where I could feel the water of the spirit moving. But most of it, 90%, was that stuff. But the point of this one, after the retreat was over and I sat with it, I did feel more of the water of the spirit after the retreat, not during it, after it. And that was, so you got to have the faith of sitting still with the fear and the thoughts like that, no matter how long it is. That's it. And that was long. I could have wished it to go away. I said, come, leave me alone. Get out of here. But I had to just keep going as long as it would go. And it dissipated after about 6 weeks. It was a long time. I had to sit with it. So, that's going back to where we started at the first place. That daily meditation. The daily going back to the precepts. The daily helps for these kind of spots. We are practicing for these kind of times. When we sit against a wall and try to meditate, and as the thoughts come, let it come, and let it go, and let it go over, go back to the wall, we're getting ready for these times. These kind of times, the more serious times. And what's the most serious time, as you in the book say? Getting ready to die. Getting ready to die could come any time. a tumor or this and that. But the one thing is 100%, it's going to come. Tomorrow or 30 years or 50 years or next week. But we can say we're ready with the training and meditation. And, which is the hard part for me, we're ready to live each day. Each morning we wake up, I'm ready for anything. And you try your best. You try your best, and as the fear arises, we go. So that's about it on fear. If there's any questions or comments, great. You have fun with it. If you want me to talk a little more on something else, that's okay too.
No, that's good, and that gives time for people to ask
questions, comments. Yeah.